From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield, this is Inside Eagle Nation, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.
Strike three called, it is well with my soul at J.I. Clement Stadium.
Your all-access look into Eagle athletics is Inside Eagle Nation.
Toogie with one, a three, and a win it! Got it! Game over!
Let's go to the Learfield studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
A little bit different way to open up Inside Eagle Nation, as that's the Braswell's Jam of the Week, one of the most recognizable starts to a country music song. That's The Dance. It was released back in 1989 off the wonderful vocals of Garth Brooks, but you tie it back into Georgia Southern. It was written by Tony Arata, a grad of Georgia Southern, before he moved to Nashville in 1986. One of the best country music songs, and we're going to fade it out. Granted, I'd listen to it all day.
Yeah, that could take up the first few minutes. Yeah. It doesn't have to be us.
Yeah, most people wouldn't appreciate that, but that is this week's Braswell's Jam of the Week, The Dance, from Garth Brooks and Tony Arata. But welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics, this week presented by Ford and our Georgia neighborhood Ford dealers. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, on week two without any kind of sports going on?
See, it's different for everybody. I've seen some people say, oh, this has been 17 days. Other people say 11. Other people say 7. But this would be, I guess, our second podcast post-corona pandemic.
Okay.
I don't know how many of these we're actually going to end up doing.
Oh, we're going to do them all.
But it's still the whole wait-and-see idea. And it makes our jobs a little bit more difficult, but you already heard one of our newest features, the Braswell Jam of the Week. And over the next little bit and on social media, on gseagles.com, there's a lot more that's going to be coming out over the next little bit.
As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. So now that we don't have games to be at 4 or 5 days out of the week,
oh,
what you been up to?
All right, here's something I really noticed over the last week. Number one, I've got my Corona beard working.
Yeah, you've got the full thing going, especially now that you can't go and get a haircut.
And see, that's what I thought of, because I do my baseball haircut. I've done it for the last 4 years because I saw a picture of myself in 2016 and how nuts my hair was, and said, okay, we're not doing that again once we get the basketball-baseball overlap. But I thought, all right, the next few days I'm not having to be on camera, or we're not having to do anything for officially work-wise. I mean, we can look however we want to when we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, nobody would know unless we bring it up like we did.
Like we're doing it right now. Typically, when I do facial hair, it doesn't go well.
Right.
But I thought, I've got to have something else to do right now than to simply wake up and figure out how we're going to get stuff ready for hopefully next football season.
Well, you've got enough time for it to fill in where it needs to fill in and cover up some of the rough spots.
I've never been able to connect it from the mustache part down to the beard. And maybe now, trying it again, it'll figure its way. It'll roadmap its way down to my chin, and I can get the Fu Man or something
like
that.
Or maybe it's just long enough where you don't notice that it doesn't connect.
Because I think the longest I've ever let it go is a month. And maybe that wasn't long enough. Maybe I need to just let my facial hair explore the canvas it's working
just
with.
Just let it ride.
Something else I noticed.
Oh, Lord, you've been doing some thinking.
Hey, it is so nice to see gas start with a 1 instead of a 2.
Well, in 2, you don't really need any of it.
But it's almost like they're saying, come to me. Come to me. 189, 179. Come on. Let's go. But, you know, for a while, it was in the threes, and out west it was in the fours and fives. I can remember visiting some friends I had in California a number of years ago. It was, I think, $4.75 a gallon, thinking, wow. But now it's been mostly low to mid twos for a little bit, and lately with not having to do anything and really everybody having to be quarantined or whatnot, just look it up at every place, and the most expensive I can remember seeing is $1.99.
And that's how you know that we have officially hit boredom, when we start telling you about gas prices here on Inside Eagle Nation.
I could fill up my car, no joke, I used to be able to fill up my car from empty to full for between $15 and $16. I can't quite do that yet, but it's nice to know that I don't have to carve out part of my bank account when I have to go get gas now.
Yeah, I don't know if my truck has ever seen a $15 or $16. I don't know that that's ever happened.
These are deep cuts. These are deep thoughts we're going to get into while we're dealing with all this. Just bear with us.
One deep thought we've got to get into is Georgia Southern men's basketball going to be looking for a new head man to lead the Eagles. As of now, it's the interim head coach and Andrew Wilson, because head coach Mark Byington, after 7 years, almost seven full years, 7 years with a little asterisk because he didn't get to officially finish his seventh year.
And then you had the 11 games at the College of Charleston before that, but
so it all works out. But head coach Mark Byington is making his way to lead the James Madison program up in Virginia. Congratulations to him. Going to be opening up a new arena up in Harrisonburg.
Yep.
But a great move for head coach Mark Byington. Has done a lot of really good things here in his 7 years in Statesboro. And one of the best things, and he mentioned it in what I call the exit tweet, the tweet that you send out thanking everybody. I call it an exit tweet.
Your blanket tweet. Yeah. It just covers, it's supposed to cover everything.
Beautiful. You keep it pinned there for a couple months. Yeah, beautiful.
Even though I didn't know he had a purple pullover, because when he did his address to the James Madison fan base, he had this purple quarter zip, and I thought, you know what? There's probably a reason why I haven't seen that the last five years.
Either that or Photoshop's a beautiful thing.
Well, that's also true.
But the thing that he mentioned, that one of the things that he's most proud of, in his 7 years, 100% graduation rate.
Every senior that went through his program graduated.
And you take away everything from what he's accomplished on the court, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes, but that in and of itself is pretty outstanding. 7 years. Now, you can say 2 or 3 years you had a place, everybody graduated, yada yada. That's great too. But you look at 7 years, you're going through almost two full classes of four-year students here at Georgia Southern have all graduated.
The 14 semesters that he was the head coach were the 14 highest individual team GPAs in the history of Georgia Southern men's basketball.
That doesn't happen.
I can sit here and talk about Tukey Brown, Ike Smith, Monte Glenn, Mike Hughes, Jake Allsmiller all day long. We're not going to. We could, because, you know, we don't have a whole lot to do right now. But the fact that that is a stat that you can tie to him is pretty amazing.
And you look at what he's done on the basketball floor. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago when basketball finished up pretty abruptly, of 20-win seasons, the third straight 20-win season for the first time in a long time with Georgia Southern men's basketball.
More than 30 years.
Just so much he has done on the floor. And I got to see it for a couple of years doing the men's basketball games with you on the Sports Network. But for you, being able to cover Coach Byington from when you first got here all the way through until now, he's one of the, and we've talked about this, the coaches that we get to deal with are some of the best that you will ever come across, whether it be head coach Chad Lunsford, head coach Rodney Hanna with Georgia Southern Baseball. But Mark Byington really fit that mold as well.
I've talked about watching fifth-year seniors and the way that student-athletes grow up, whether it's been Matt Anderson with baseball, Ike Smith with basketball, or guys like Jay Bowdry, Tyler Bass, and Lane Ecton with Georgia Southern football. But that's the same with coaches, too. You watch coaches grow up, and yeah, they're adults when they get the job, but knowing how we worked together during that winter of 2015 when everything was still new. He was only in his third year at that point, and he had brought in Tukey, he had brought in Monte, he had brought in Ike. Mike Hughes was a sophomore, Jake Allsmiller was a sophomore, Coy Simmons was a sophomore. Georgia Southern was the second youngest team in the country that year. They were picked to finish 10th in the league, they finished 5th. They have finished top five in the league all 6 years that they've been in the Sun Belt. They are one of only two teams in the Sun Belt to win double-digit conference games in each year. UT Arlington is the other one. But I think about the conversations that Mark and I had from my first year, and as the guys continue to get older and Georgia Southern finally developed an older team, and they've been a veteran team for really the last 4 years. But my 5 years have been his last 5 years. Whether that team won a game by 30, lost a game by 30, because there were a couple of them, whether it was a win at the buzzer, saw a couple of those, tough losses, season-ending losses, winning streaks, whatever, he was a pro. He was a pro to deal with.
And I go back to Coach Byington was and is a real person.
Yeah.
It's so often, as far as the relationship between the media or, and we have a different relationship with coaches than just your typical media, but even the relationships between your radio crew and head coaches, sometimes it's more of a business relationship, and obviously it is because you work with each other every day, but you're on the road with these guys. You are in their lives probably more than their family at times when you're in the meat of the season, and just some of the conversations that you have with the coaches are things you'll never forget. Like, and it's something as simple as whenever we would miss a basketball game because of football and men's basketball would go on a 2-game winning streak, you come back and he goes, well, we don't need you anymore. I mean, it's just little things like that of showing that he's a real person and really getting to know him on a personal level.
And some of our best talks were this year just because it things felt different, especially the last couple of weeks, and I talked about that during last week's episode. The one thing that him and I always went back and forth about, and you could talk to him about this and he'll love it, he is a diehard Cowboys fan.
Right.
I am a diehard Washington Redskins fan.
Correct. Those don't mix.
No. So there's always been at least a couple of rows of seats in between us whenever we would ride the T-bus. It would work that way anyway.
Especially once you get past February.
But I would talk about Dak Prescott. He would talk about, guy's going to finish third in the division again. Just it would be playful back and forth. It's like, 8-8 again. That's a Jerry kind of season. Say, hey, when's the last time you had a 1,000-yard rusher? And when are you going to have a quarterback? And him say, we need to draft Tua. It's like, we got Haskins, but it would just be always a back and forth. He wouldn't say a whole lot after Dallas would lose, but if they would win that Sunday, he would not stop until the following Tuesday, especially when they would beat the Redskins, because that happened a lot more in recent years. But that was just something we always had. And now he's going back to an area where, number one, he's pretty much from. Granted, Harrisonburg's about 100 miles from Salem, Virginia, but he's growing up in Redskins country as a Cowboys fan. So he said, and you'll have to come up for a Skins-Cowboys game at one point. Well, we'll see if we can make it happen.
If that ever happens where you and Mark Byington go to a Skins-Cowboys game, A, I want to be there just to watch it, and B, that probably needs to be on Facebook Live.
Oh, we're not going to sit in the same section.
Oh, you
just
have
just
to.
I'll see him before the game, and then I'll see him after the game. I can't sit with him.
No, you have to have a section of three seats, one seat in between you two, and just let it roll.
You knew you were getting from him. We talk about how Chad Lunsford and Rodney Hammond are such genuine people. Mark Byington is right in that class. And I know that I said last week that the last really 3 weeks or so have been the most enjoyable I've ever had in a stretch covering a team. He's a reason why. And I think that he did his best coaching job in 7 years at Southern. I think he did it those last 3 weeks. And look, you're going to say, well, no, the 22-win season in 2015, getting to the tournament championship, that was a veteran squad. The veteran squad, he had the pieces there. It was Jelani Hewitt's senior year. Jelani would have been the player of the year in the league that year had it not been for R.J. Hunter. I mean, there's a reason why he was, and that's all well and good. You could say, well, the year that Tukey and Monte and Ike were all freshmen, when they were the second youngest team in the country and somehow getting to fifth in the conference when they were picked 10th. But I do believe that the corner that those guys turned, the buy-in that existed, especially on defense, I think it was his best coaching job. And I hate to think that, to say it this way, because I think the other three teams in the semifinals would have agreed with their situation, but I truly believe that Georgia Southern was going to win the tournament championship. I believe that they were going to beat Little Rock, and it didn't matter if it was South Owl or Texas State on the other side. I believe that it was going to happen. But for some reason, part of the legacy is going to be that while Georgia Southern became a really good program after not being a very good program for a long time before Coach got here, couldn't make the biggie, couldn't get the big one.
Yeah.
And I hate that for them because I saw how hard those guys worked and I saw how much they put into it and I saw how those players tried to do the same thing. But when you average 20 wins a season here and you're talking basketball, when that's been done 15 times all time before you over nearly 100 years,
you're doing something right.
You're doing something right. I'm going to miss him. I'm happy for Andrew Wilson to be the interim because I think he's earned that opportunity at least to be the interim head coach. I don't know how things are going to progress over the next little bit to see who's going to lead the men's basketball program. But somebody that's been here for 7 years, he's been Mark Byington's number one guy for the last 7 years. If he gets a chance, does he keep it going? Does he do things differently? I don't know. But I do know that he has earned this opportunity because of what he has learned from his experiences, not only with Bobby Kremins at CFC, playing for Leonard Hamilton at Florida State, but working under Mark and seeing how things go over these last 7 years.
Didn't Dubs make a three inside the Dean Dome once?
He made seven of them.
Okay. I think I've heard that a time or two.
See, he likes to shoot before shoot-arounds when we go on the road. And if he makes a couple in a row, somebody yells out, Dean Dome. Most of the time, it's me. He had the record for an opponent for most threes made in a game in the Dean Dome for a while.
Man, old Dubs.
Yes.
But a huge and heartfelt congratulations and a lot of luck heading out to head coach Mark Byington. Now going to be leading the Dukes of James Madison up in Harrisonburg. Another news note coming out from Georgia Southern men's basketball. Ike Smith was named the second team All-District by the National Association of Basketball Coaches earlier on this week. It's the second time Ike's been named All-District as he was a first team honoree back in 2016-2017. But congratulations to Ike, as it's hard to believe the era of Ike Smith may be coming to a close. And I say maybe because they haven't officially put out whether seniors are going to get another year of eligibility for basketball, but we shall wait and see on that, and we'll let you know when we know.
Division II has already voted what they're going to do. The D1 Council votes on March the 30th, and that's supposed to be primarily for spring sports. Now, it was recommended that the seniors get their extra year, and it sounds like they're going to, but it needs to become official after that meeting on March the 30th, but I would understand if the winter sports did not get included. I sincerely hope that that is given a lot of discussion, but they did play their full season despite not getting a chance to play a conference tournament, so that may be the overarching theme. It would take me, a lot like last year, talking about Monte Glenn and Tukey Brown and trying to figure out what their legacy was here. Ike's a different situation, and I'd like to include Crawley in that. Of course, Simeon Carter, David Lee Jones Jr. It would take longer than just a couple minutes to talk about what Ike Smith has meant to not just me personally being able to watch him for the last 5 years, but how he has helped carry on the upward trend of what has been this program. And hopefully we have a chance to do that in the next couple episodes because he's at the top of the list.
So once again, congratulations to Ike Smith, the second team All-District for Georgia Southern men's basketball. As we move along on this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation, we step aside for the True Blue Eagle of the Week, presented by Queensboro National Bank and Trust. This week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, the namesake of J.I. Clement Stadium, former Georgia Southern baseball coach, assistant basketball coach, athletic business manager, athletic director here for Georgia Southern. He had his hand in a little bit of everything, was either a coach, a business manager, or athletic director from 1948 until his death in 1984.
The wild thing is that he did much of that at the exact same time. And of course, he was the head coach of the 1962 NAI National Championship team, giving Georgia Southern its first ever national championship in any sport. He was the NAI National Coach of the Year in 1963. And let's not forget, as an administrator, he helped guide Georgia Southern from NAIA to Division II to Division I status in 1971. And that's what we get to enjoy now.
He was an assistant basketball coach from 48 to 62, and to be able to coach two different sports at the same time is something that's pretty incredible.
To me, that's the very essence of True Blue. It's not just being able to commit your time to one sport. It's being able to work with two different sports. And remember, at that point, a lot of those athletes were overlap athletes. Somebody like E.G. Maybaum, who we're going to talk about later on in this, played multiple sports, and that was just the norm during that time.
This week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, J.I. Clements, former assistant basketball coach, athletic business manager, athletic director, and most notably, head baseball coach here at Georgia Southern. J.I. Clements is this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Make sure to tune in every Monday for the next week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Once again, this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, brought to you by our good friends over at Queensboro National Bank and Trust, is J.I. Clements. It seems odd that we are talking about J.I. Clements without it being a game in the end of March, but nonetheless, J.I. Clements did a lot for Georgia Southern baseball, and really up until the last couple of years, I didn't realize that J.I. Clements did so much for this program. He was athletic business manager, the athletic director, did a little bit of everything around Georgia Southern.
Lots and lots of hats at a time where Georgia Southern needed in making that transition ultimately from NAIA to, in 1971, finally moving up to Division I. And when you're involved with that kind of leap and you have that kind of success, you're a true Blue Eagle.
And we are going to talk about J.I. Clements a little bit later on in this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. Again, this week presented by Ford in your Georgia neighborhood Ford dealers. But we are going to debut Eagle Archives. We talked about it last week, how we are going to go through all this. That is Danny rubbing his hands together.
I am not starting a fire. I'm rubbing my hands together.
I hope you're not.
Yeah, we can't do that inside.
No. But Eagle Archives is going to be the segment where we go through and tell you the history of every program around Georgia Southern Athletics. This week, we're going to start off with the athletic department as a whole, and so we will get into that a little bit later on in this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. But for now, we step aside for this week's Beyond the Bio, brought to you by our friends at International Diamond Center.
Time now for Beyond the Bio with Colin Lacey.
Welcome into this week's edition of Beyond the Bio here on Inside Eagle Nation. This week presented by our good friends over at International Diamond Center as we step into Georgia Southern softball with third-year head coach Kim Dean. Coach, I know everything's been a little bit crazy over the last couple of weeks with pretty much all of athletics around the country shutting down, but with you guys being in the meat of your season, a great start for Georgia Southern softball in 2020, what are some of the things that you miss the most about being on the field and competing?
You know, it's not even so much being out on the field. I just miss our girls. I miss watching them celebrate each other. I miss being able to give them hugs and high fives routinely. You know, I miss watching my staff just completely kill their craft and make them better people more than just athletes. So in general, it's just truly missing the team. You know, I think the competition was the icing, but without a doubt, they are the cake.
Now, you went out on social media in the last couple of days and put out a video of you suiting up, going through some of the signs, giving them to one of the BP dummies out at second base. Where did that come from, and what's kind of the thought process of what to do now here with no games?
You know, it's kind of a joke with the team. They decided one day, I made a comment that if they wore their uniform a certain way all game, I would wear a uniform to coach in one day, and really didn't think any of them would go for it. And before I could even really finish the sentence, they were already adjusting their uniform to how I told them to, if they wanted me to wear that. So was just kind of sitting around missing them like crazy, and just thought, you know, I'm not a big social media presence person. I'm not afraid to admit that. I'm trying to get better, especially now with Jared under the helm. I know we need to be better at it. But, you know, I just kind of thought they would enjoy this and anything to make them smile and just remember that we're excited to get back together. I want to do for them. So threw on a uniform and just kind of went for it. Joe is what all the pitchers call him. So I pulled Joe out onto second base and just tried to relive the moment and live up to my bet of I told them I would coach in a uniform one day if they wore their uniform that one day, how we asked them to.
Now, we mentioned that you're in year three here at Georgia Southern, spent 1 year at Armstrong, and that was kind of a odd situation as well with the consolidation with Armstrong and Georgia Southern. You get to Armstrong in your first season, finish third in the Division II national tournament, and then you're making the transition to Georgia Southern. What was that time period like for you?
Goodness, a whirlwind. You know, obviously, anytime you become become a first-time head coach, everything you're doing is you're kind of learning on the job. You're in a position where you are prepared, but you're never really prepared. So when the merger ended up coming down, really was fortunate with the leadership that I had in Lisa Sweeney and Jen Rushton, really leaned on our girls. Megan Connor was my assistant at that point as well, really leaned on her. But, you know, it really was just a unique bond that we created with that team and that program. And went into a deep run, came up a little short, but I would do it all over again for them. You know, Armstrong is definitely a huge part of my past. It's a huge part of my present. I want to make them proud every day. But was really lucky that Lisa kind of came over and just some situations happened here that TK and Brandy gave me a shot. You know, I think God has a plan for everyone. And he allowed me to find my way to Georgia, and he had opened up some doors to keep me here. So I am truly grateful every day for that.
Let's go a little bit back into your story. Where did your love for softball really kind of start?
You know, I actually played baseball, and my dad and I just always would play catch. I didn't start playing softball until I was a teenager. So my big sports were basketball. Obviously, my height kind of limited me there. But basketball and soccer were my two sports. But I'm from Illinois, and in Illinois, soccer, women's soccer is played in the spring. And so as I was kind of going through my journey, I got to high school and had to make a decision. And I actually was leaning towards soccer, but ended up getting on a really good travel ball team and conversations with my father. And, you know, we just decided that softball might be a better sport for me. It might open more doors. And I just, you know how you kind of ask questions because you want the advice that you want to hear. And so I would be asking people what they think I should do. And I kind of kept coming back to like asking people to tell me go to softball. So I ended up choosing softball. Have not regretted that decision a day in my life. Surrounded myself with really good people. And, you know, it's led me here.
You talk about surrounding yourself with really good people. And every coach, especially at this level, has a lot of mentors that have gotten them to this point. Who are some of the people in your coaching career that have gotten you to where you are today?
Well, without a doubt, it's my previous boss and Sue Kunkel, the national defending, well, I guess now 2 years out. But she won the national championship 2 years ago for Division II. But she gave me my first chance. My college coach, Laura Phillips, she actually opened the door for me to get into coaching and letting me be a GA. But Sue really kind of allowed me to fall in love with the sport and coaching. It's really easy as an athlete to think you love the sport. But when you get into coaching, it's so different. You know, I always kind of laugh at the girls when we run camps or whatnot and they have to coach a team. And they're like, gosh, coach, this is difficult. And I'm like, it's a little different than just writing out a lineup every day. But, you know, just she really allowed me to fail forward. She gave me a lot of responsibility early. And so I'm without a doubt grateful for her. I had a really good JV basketball coach. And, you know, his name, I always call him Poulin. And he really kind of just got me excited about the small details of a game. And so I really do benefit him a lot in how my mind started working a little differently. I'm not saying good or bad. He allowed me to be excited about the details that I already appreciated, but he kind of showed me how to make that into athletics. And then I've got to go with Lisa Sweeney. You know, she took a chance on a first-time head coach to take over a nationally prominent Division II program, was very nervous. She truly just believed in me. And I think it's something that we all take for granted. When you do have a mentor and somebody that truly understands, it's a process that truly understands the mistakes we make, we'll make together. And you know, those four people without a doubt have helped transform me into the coach that I hope to be one day. And that I think, you know, in addition to those four, the two that I have right now, in Brock Van Fossen and Danny Price, it's amazing how much more confident you are when you have coaches that believe in you, that trust your vision. And they've really bought in a short period of time of what we're trying to do here. And I think that this year has been one of the most influential years of my coaching career.
Finally, before we let you go, this segment's called Beyond the Bio. Give us something that seeing you on game day, seeing you around the parish building, people may not know, something beyond your bio.
Well, okay. I actually am like a huge like ghost fanatic. So I watch a ton of different stuff on like ghost adventures and ghost hunting. runners. And really, I'm like on messaging boards, like secretly, just because I think it's just so interesting. I'm not advocating that I necessarily believe in everything, but I think it's just something to kind of let my mind wander when I just want to set down film or set down a practice plan. But I definitely have fun watching shows like that and kind of scaring myself a little bit and just doing different stuff every once in a while.
Coach, appreciate your time. Appreciate everything that you do for Georgia Southern Athletics, and we'll talk soon.
I can't wait to be back on the field with y'all. Go Eagles.
Once again, that's Georgia Southern softball head coach Kim Dean finishing up her third season at the helm of Georgia Southern softball. And who knew that Kim Dean not only played baseball growing up, but also is a ghost fanatic.
All right, one, it makes me think of A League of Their Own.
Ooh, good point. Good call.
One of my favorite movies of all time, and it should be just about everybody's who's a baseball fan, their favorite movie of all time.
I'm not going to go with favorite. It's definitely in the top five, though.
One of.
Okay.
Yeah. One of.
I'll give you one of.
I mean, Field of Dreams, that's just a...
Yeah, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham,
those are
Sandlot.
Those are different... A League of Their Own should be in the discussion.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
The ghost thing really took me.
Yeah. That's what I love, and it's part of the reason why we started doing Beyond the Bio a couple of years ago, of just getting to know things about the coaches that you don't see on a game day. I always go back to the first one of Coach Murphy saying he likes to barbecue Boston butts. I knew at that point... we had some gold on our hands of we were going to find out some of the best things ever. But there you have it. Kim Dean likes ghost hunters. Now, now we need to get her, Russ Brown, and Frank Sulkowski together, because when we go on the road for football, Russ and Frank, if you go into their hotel room, which can sometimes be a dangerous thing anyway.
Yes, sometimes there's yellow caution tape up on the doorway.
But when you go into their hotel room, I guarantee you, ghost hunters or something of that nature is going to be on the TV.
Well, remember, it was in 2016. We nearly lost Russ to the Las Cruces Desert.
That's true.
We were very, very close to needing to get another sideline guy.
Yeah, we were very dangerous of having to be the Russ hunters. But this week, we debut Eagle Archives, this week presented by our good friends over at Optum Orthopedics. But Eagle Archives, we're going to go through each week and give you a little bit of the history of all 17 sports around Georgia Southern Athletics. This week, we start off with Georgia Southern Athletics as a whole department, just kind of giving you a little bit of background as far as what Georgia Southern came from and why it is the way it is today.
First District A&M.
That's the first thing on my list.
Yeah, I didn't even look at the list.
Look at there.
Nice.
Oh, Lord, this is scary. We've had 2 weeks off from each other, and we're still finishing each other's sentences.
See, we've got the big book at the house
that right.
traces the history from the whole vote that took place in Savannah, the rally downtown, wanting to bring a school here. So I feel like we should just take pictures of this and read that, but that wouldn't have just our ability to tell our story and how we relate to it.
Well, it all started back in 1906. I feel like I should have people sitting around on a carpet and I'm sitting in a chair.
We should have our big radio, because radios used to be the centerpiece of a living room. It wasn't now where they're in cars, but they used to be the large pieces of furniture.
Ah, the good old days. But in 1906...
what they used to call the first decade of the 1900s?
Radio days.
Well, partly, but...
I don't know.
You ever heard when someone says aught-six or aught-five?
Sure.
That means you haven't. So when someone says 19, when someone says aught-five, that means they're talking about 1905. It's an old-timey deal, but...
Well, I'll be darned.
I've watched Ken Burns' baseball the last week.
That's next on my list. I had to finish Brockmire, and now it's Ken Burns.
Well, Brockmire was nearly in Ken Burns' baseball in a fictitious way. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I saw that one the other day. But 1906, the first district A&M school, what would later become Georgia Southern University. But in 1910, the first athletics were established, and it was a football team for then First District A&M. In 1924, First District A&M would turn into Georgia Natural School. And from 1924 until 1941, it would be the Blue Tide would be the mascot. Not Roll Tide, not Crimson Tide, but the Blue Tide. For then, Georgia Normal School.
I feel like we need to talk about E.G. Cromartie and H.A. Woodall and...
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay.
You bet your bottom dollar we're going to get there.
I don't want to steal the thunder, but I feel like there's a lot of E.G. Cromartie brewing up inside of people right now.
But you also got to think, we're going to touch on every sport of when they started here at Georgia Southern throughout this segment. But you also got to think, we're going to dive a lot deeper into each sport over the next 17 weeks.
Let's hope we're not in quarantine still by then.
Yeah, true.
This is the only time of the week we get out of the house.
Right. But in 1926, men's basketball started here at then Georgia Normal School for the Blue Tide. In 1929, it changed to South Georgia Teachers College. And in 1930, B.J. Smith started the first baseball program here at Georgia Southern. And throughout this, we're going to touch on a couple of key people, and really and truly a couple of key people that I didn't know about until the last couple of weeks when we started looking up a bunch of this stuff. So, 1936, you had co-athletic directors. One of them...
Okay, I didn't know this.
One of them in 1936 was Jim Wrinkle. He was a co-athletic director and a PE instructor for Georgia Southern. He also attempted to start the track program from 1936 to 1937. He then became an assistant football coach under Crook Smith in 1940. So he was the co-athletic director in 1936, tried to start the track program. It wouldn't officially get started until many, many years later. But Jim Wrinkle is kind of the first person that a lot of people, I'd never heard the name, to be honest with you.
I haven't either.
Before the last couple of days. So Jim Wrinkle in 1936 was the co-athletic director. He was a PE instructor on campus.
Okay.
From 37, when he finished up his tenure as co-athletic director, until 1940, he was just a PE instructor for Georgia Southern, and then became an assistant football coach in 1940 under B.L. Crook Smith.
Sure.
Jim Wrinkle, also a Hall of Fame inductee for Georgia Southern Athletics. So you can go back and look at the bio online, but... like I said, somebody that I had never heard of or had brought up before. But in 1939, it became Georgia Teachers College. And then following 2 years later in 1941, it became the Professors, changing from the Blue Tide to the Professors and the Georgia Teacher College Professors, which is just like the beautiful jacket Miss Helen has.
All right, Calvin Wishart, our outstanding sophomore point guard from Minnesota, made a suggestion right before we left for Atlanta.
Okay.
Next year, for one game, switching out the uniforms, instead of it saying Georgia Southern, say Professors.
Huh.
You had to get somebody to design them.
Right, or Steve Masterman.
You could copy the logo that used to be used or whatever, but... It impressed me that he had invested to learn the history of the school,
yeah,
so he could talk about that. But it's also a pretty cool idea.
You saw it a couple of years ago when Georgia Southern football had the alternate uniforms and the old school. You had the leather helmet,
right,
style. But that'd be cool for a basketball uniform. You get some of the replica jackets like Miss Helen's. Everybody wear it. Oh, could be a thing.
Well, we need to tell Steve this.
Yes, we do. Something tells me Steve would be all about it.
Yeah.
But again, in 1941 is when it became the Georgia Teachers College Professors. 1959, it's when it changed from Georgia Teachers College to Georgia Southern College. That would be when the students would vote on it becoming the Eagles,
mm-hmm,
narrowly eclipsing the Georgia Southern Colonels, which just doesn't sound right.
Well, Eastern Kentucky goes by that,
yeah,
so
sure.
We'll let them have it. They can have that.
But again, the students voted to name it the Georgia Southern College Eagles. In 1967, you probably know this because you're a walking media guy.
I didn't know about Jim Wrinkle.
Well, you do now. But in 1967, Roger Moore joined the Georgia Southern men's basketball team. He was the first African-American athlete to receive a scholarship in the university system of Georgia. Again, he played men's basketball, yep, here at Georgia Southern. So something that a lot of people don't realize, Georgia Southern has a lot of firsts when it comes to the state of Georgia, when it comes to even nationally. Georgia Southern has a lot of firsts, but that's one to be proud of. The first African-American athlete to receive a scholarship, not to play on a team, but to receive a scholarship from the university system of Georgia. Again, it was Roger Moore back in 1967. 1967 was also the time when J.I. Clements became the athletic director for Georgia Southern. In 1968, men's golf became a program here for Georgia Southern in Statesboro. It wasn't quite Larry Mays or Carter Collins just yet, but they would get there eventually. 1971 is when J.I. Clements would lead the transition into the Division I ranks from the NAIA to Division I in 1971. 1973, Georgia Southern would have their first women's sport. It would be women's basketball starting up in 1973. This is one, too, that I didn't really realize until the last couple of days. In 1974, when J.I. Clements would be completing his tenure as athletic director, you would have a six-month interim AD. His name was Bill Cook. He was the VP of Business and Finance on campus from 74 until 86. He was also a big part of the golf program. He was a consultant and chairman of the golf team's Pro-Am committee. And one of his quotes was always, he always understood and supported the success and need for athletics at Georgia Southern. And so you hear that a lot. You've heard it from Brooks Keel. You hear it now from Dr. Kyle Marrero, the university president. But going back and looking at it, he was really one of the first ones to really put a lot of focus on athletics, and he was the six-month interim AD back in 1974.
And even so, you can say, oh, that was almost 50 years ago, but it was only 50 years ago.
Right.
So it just depends on how you want to look at that.
1974 would be a busy time for Georgia Southern as well, as Bill Cook, who again was a interim AD at the time, would welcome in men's tennis and women's tennis into programs for Georgia Southern. 1979 would be when Georgia Southern would join the TAC. That would later become the A-Sun.
I thought you were going to tell me the Pirates won the World Series, but keep going.
No, not yet. No. In 1980, the then athletic director, George A. Cook, would start the men's soccer team back in 1980. 1981, our old friend Bucky Wagner would become the athletic director and later on start the wheels a-churning to bring back Georgia Southern football in 1982.
And that was when they transitioned George Cook from AD to the men's golf program to bring in Bucky after his successful tenure. Remember, he played college football at Ohio and his chance to come down. And now he, as we found out being the True Blue Eagle just recently, he did a thing.
Not only would he bring football back and bring in Irk Russell to Statesboro, bringing him away from the University of Georgia, where he was the defensive coordinator for the Junkyard Dogs for a number of years, but after he brought football back in the early 80s, 1985, he would bring volleyball into Georgia Southern. 1986 would be the start of softball for Georgia Southern athletics as well. So Bucky gets credited with a lot of things over his tenure, but not only did he bring football back, he started three women's sports for Georgia Southern athletics. Later on in 1993, he would start Georgia Southern women's soccer as well.
And I don't think people realize that those three women's sports are that recent.
Right. There's a lot of, and we'll get to a couple of later ones, but there's a lot of these sports that I didn't realize were as young or as recent as many people think.
Yeah.
So in 1993, Georgia Southern would start women's soccer. In 1992, a year prior to starting women's soccer, would be when Georgia Southern would enter the Southern Conference, vacating the TAC that would then again become the Atlantic Sun, but joining the SoCon back in 1992. 1995 would start a new tenure of athletic director as Sam Baker would take over for Georgia Southern. He would be the AD for the next 17 years, but it's like we talked about over the last couple of weeks with Jared Benko coming in as the new athletic director. Georgia Southern Athletics has had not only successful leadership, but long-tenured leadership.
4 and 40 years, basically. And I think we used that exact phrase when we introduced Jared Benko to Eagle Nation several weeks back. They recognized that this is a place where you can have success, and the reason how you have it, you build it. You foster it. You cultivate it. 15 years, 17 years, 8 years, with Jared, it's a question mark right now because he hasn't officially started yet.
Right.
But from what we talked about earlier, he's got some things that he needs to attend to by hiring a new men's basketball coach. And I think that that's good.
Yeah.
Young guy, chance to show that he's worthy of a position like this. In addition to everything else that's swirling around, having to hire a basketball coach, it might seem like a lot on the plate, but that's what you sign up for.
But again, back in 1995, Sam Baker would begin his 17-year tenure. 5 years later, in 2000, Georgia Southern Track and Field would begin. And a 20-year anniversary this year for track and field. Over their history, and we're going to dive deeper into their history in the next couple of weeks, but they have 71 individual event conference championships.
And Merab Nagwandala is 66 of them?
Not quite that many, but close. In 2009, Georgia Southern would begin their swimming and diving program. 2012 would see the end of the 17-year tenure of Sam Baker and begin the tenure of former athletic director Tom Kleinlein. Under his tenure, two women's sports would be established for Georgia Southern, as rifle would begin in 2013. Women's golf would start under head coach Emily Kuhfeld, who has done a great job with that program since 2015 when they started up, and also making the transition in 2014 from the SoCon to the Sun Belt and moving from the FCS to the FBS.
One of the biggest moments in the history of the department. One of the biggest moments, and the fact that so much success was had so early. That first year, that 2014 season, basketball comes within a missed three at the buzzer of going to an NCAA tourney. Baseball wins the final SoCon championship on a walk-off at Riley Park in Charleston. Football sweeps right through the Sun Belt, 8-0 record, 9-3 overall. They win the conference championship, first team to ever make the move and go undefeated in league play. So I think there was proof that you could have that kind of success, and we've also seen where it's not always going to be that easy. And I'm not just talking about football, I'm talking about all sports. You had to show that you could do it, lay the foundation, and then build back up, which I think we're in the process of doing now, is we're not necessarily the new kid on the block anymore. But the next step is what we're going to find when Jared Benko takes over here.
And that is the last stop on our timeline of Georgia Southern Athletics. Just a couple of weeks ago, Jared Benko announced as the new athletic director, he will officially begin his tenure as the AD for Georgia Southern on April the 1st. So
I feel
next
like it
Wednesday.
Should be. I feel like that should be on April 2nd, because if you hear that somebody's starting on April 1st, doesn't it just make you think April Fools?
That's what I was talking with somebody over in the Parish Building. They're like, man, I just thought about it. Jared starts his tenure on April Fool's Day with no sports going on.
Psych!
Ooh, buddy.
But really happy to have him.
No doubt.
Really, really happy to have him.
In seeing the things that he has already done and really involving Eagle Nation, you saw the Georgia Southern Combine on social media the last couple of days, and his two sons are the first two participants. And I think they ran a faster 40 than I would have.
The Eagle Madness with voting on the best photos of the year. These are all things that we prefaced in the last few weeks, and it's just part of the overall extending of the arm from a social media standpoint to try to give the fans, to give all of you listening, things that you wouldn't ordinarily see, because we've got time to think about this now. And I think that over the rest of the athletic year leading into what hopefully is an on-time start for football, we're going to find out what we're made of. And I just don't mean Georgia Southern. I mean us as a whole, an Eagle Nation, a college athletic fan base, or however you want to put it. We're going to find out what we can handle, and we're going to find out what we're really good at. And I think it's going to be a unmistakable chapter in the history of our lovely little school down here in Southeast Georgia.
It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks and months as we get closer to, like you mentioned, hopefully an on-time start for Georgia Southern football against Boise State. But over those next couple of weeks and months, going to have a lot of good content going out on Georgia Southern Athletics social media. We talked about it last week, how may do a couple of facility tours, let you see inside the inner workings of maybe Alan E. Paulson, maybe J.I. Clements, maybe even Hanner Fieldhouse. But let us know anything that you would like to see. Like we talked about, us being in it every day, we don't necessarily get to experience what you would like to see and we take a lot of things for granted. So if there's something that you would like to see, there's something that you would like for us to touch on, talk about, make a joke on, let us know.
We'll do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we'll make jokes all day.
We'll do that anyway.
But a busy...
See, we've found a way to make it busy.
We have.
With no games, we have found a way to make it busy.
We just filled 40 minutes.
Awesome.
How about that? One thing that you and I were talking about it earlier on today, that yesterday on social media, Troy did something really cool. How they had, what was it, all of their head coaches doing a board game?
Got to give a shout to the great sports over director, Adam Prendergast over at Troy, who we've mentioned before. The Troy Athletics Coaches Board Game Showdown. The first matchup was a game of battleship between football head coach Chip Lindsey and men's basketball head coach Scott Cross.
I tell you one thing, I bet you that one was pretty intense.
It went on Facebook Live. The great Barry McKnight provided play-by-play for it.
Wow.
I want to hear Barry just speak, period. Because right. He just has one of those voices that can make you feel better about what you're doing. It doesn't matter what it is you're doing.
Correct.
But that was neat, and that's the kind of things that athletic departments all across the country are trying to figure out if they can pull off.
Well, we will have a couple
I'm not saying that we're going to do that. I'm just saying
that we're not necessarily going to do that, but we're going to do some things that make you turn your head a little bit.
Well, don't we already do that?
Well, yeah, but we're going to do it even more. But again, appreciate you tuning in to this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation, presented by our good friends at Ford and your Georgia neighborhood Ford dealers. Until next week, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.